On the Fringe with Elizabeth, your friendly modern heretic. And today I wanted to talk about how we view work and career and our attachment style to work and what we feel success is, and the fact that I am seeing a pattern of doing so to our detriment on a whole. And I remember when I was working in corporate, I'm not a corporate person, I don't have the personality, but I needed the work and it was okay enough pay. And so I did it. And, you know, work experience, work ethic, getting up early, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, saying good morning to everyone. And I would have discussions with people at lunchtime. And I found myself more interested in the conversations at lunchtime than my actual job. I think that's why I'm here now. So some people saw it as, oh, she's just not corporate material, she's just a daydreamer and lazy, and, you know, like my work ethic was slack or whatever. But that's not really it. It's once I got into these types of conversations with people when I had a break, it was so engrossing to me, because I find these types of things fascinating. I find learning how people tick fascinating. I've been watching people for a very long time. And no, I don't mean in the creepy sense. And I was having a conversation with someone at lunch, and he was so proud, you know, of how hard he works. And even though he didn't have the highest position, he was really proud of how hard he worked, because he saw little things that he saw as progress in his life. So, you know, those are the types of things that obviously are supposed to keep you motivated on the hamster wheel. And I said to him, you know, there are people that work harder than you do and are doing better than you are, according to what you see as good. And there are people that work harder than you that aren't doing as well. And there are people that aren't working as hard as you that are doing much better than you. Again, according to what your interpretation of success is. And, you know, he stopped and he thought about it. And I didn't say that because I was trying to imply that he should compare himself to other people, but more as a reflective tool, because I didn't necessarily see my being there as success, because I saw it more as, okay, I need money and this is where I'm at right now, so make the best of it. And some people would say, oh, that's such a horrible attitude to have, oh, don't do that to yourself. And I have to be honest, I am not a preppy type. I'm not a cheerleader. I'm not go team. No. That's just not my personality at all. And nothing is wrong with being preppy or cheery, if that's what's natural for you. Nothing is wrong with that. Because, I mean, I do have friends who are way cheerier than I am. They're like, let's go outside and breathe fresh air. The sun is out. And I'm sort of like, that's why I'm inside. Because the sun and the birds and the people. Yeah. Inside. Some people see that as me being a bummer. I don't know. But that aside, the reflective part about talking about like how hard you work versus where you are in life, and your level of work or sweat is not equal to where you feel you should be, maybe in a given time frame, And when you keep in mind that others are out there either doing the same or more, whatever, and there are different levels, it becomes more of a reflective thing where I started to just say, well, instead of comparing myself to them and feeling bad, I decided to ask myself, am I even in a place where I'm happy? Maybe those people are further ahead than me because they're happier at what they're doing. I don't know, maybe not. And I, you know, that's where the question started coming in. Am I happy doing this? I know you can't be happy all the time. You know, I'm not trying to have an infantile or immature outlook on life. Like, everything is supposed to be gumdrops and rainbows every day and, you know, unicorn rides and whatnot. No. And I understand the concept of delayed gratification. Boy, do I understand it. But at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that based on what I've seen growing up and even now, people just work to say that they're working. And of course you want the house and the car, and you know, you want to have your own things, you want to be independent, you want to depend on people less. That's fully understandable and nothing wrong with that in and of itself. But I've started to sort of think, like, even though I'm doing this, I'm doing other things, other projects that I'm into that I do hope to make money from, I'm not focused on having a career. That's a revelation that I've been toying with for a while now. I'm not focused on having a career. I don't care about having a career. In fact, mathematically, most people won't have careers. So there's this kind of lie that's being spread to us millennials and Gen Zs that everybody's just gonna have a career. No, not everybody. Most people will not. That doesn't mean you shouldn't try. However, you know, you have to be realistic. And if I really wanted one and that was my focus and that was where I felt I should be, then fine. But I don't care about the label entrepreneur. You could say that's what I'm doing, but I don't care about the label. You know, some people have a lot of pride in that label, and nothing is wrong with feeling proud of your accomplishments. So it's not a jab at anyone who is proud of their accomplishments and coming from somewhere where maybe you were going through a really dark time, or you come from maybe less money or having less to having more now and you're doing better than you were before. You should absolutely be proud of that. So not taking that away from anybody, but I'm talking about, again, our attachment style to our lifestyles, to our beliefs around what we believe is successful. Now, you know, personally, there are certain things I do want. Just generally speaking, there are certain things that I do actually want to acquire for myself. Some, I think it might be a curiosity, as in I want to know what it feels like. And usually once that happens, you're ready to move on to the next accomplishment. I don't necessarily want to live my life that way. I don't want to live my life just going from accomplishment to accomplishment, as in that's my purpose in life. You're going to do that automatically because you're alive and you're living and you're not stagnant, hopefully. We want to know that what we're doing is adding value. We want to be able to take care of our families. We want to be able to be people of value in the sense of giving back to society in whatever way we can. Some of us can give more, some of us can't, and you shouldn't feel guilty either way. And I'm not saying to be complacent with mediocrity. And some people think that's what I'm implying. That's not what I'm implying. Don't settle for mediocrity just because it looks like something you should do. Right? No, my mediocrity is not somebody else's mediocrity. All our mediocrity is not the same. However, being true to yourself is important. So if you know deep down that, okay, this really isn't for me, but you're not really in a position to change what you're doing, having these revelations may annoy some people because it's like, how am I supposed to do anything about my situation now? I've now realized that I want something different for my life and I don't really like my job, and I realize I don't really necessarily care about having a career, and my accomplishments are great, but they don't define me either. So I feel like I have to start all over again to find myself and learn who I am, which is good. to me, that's a good thing. But some people are like, but then I still have this workload, I still have deadlines, I still have this job, I still have things to do. So you telling me this now is not helping me, lady. I hope it is anyway. That's all I can say. Like I said, nothing wrong with being an entrepreneur if that's where you feel you're aligned. Some people genuinely do feel aligned that way. And some people, I think, are just told that that's what they should be doing. Granted, I do wish we grew up with more entrepreneurship in our society. I live in a very Christian nation, very religious nation. Granted, it hasn't helped much with values. We're high in religion and low in values. And that taught me that just having a religion or just slapping religion on things doesn't make you someone with values. You can say it. You can put a few actions in place, but again, in terms of you at your core, based on what I'm seeing in terms of just our society, especially where I live, it's disappointing. I understand that there's no perfection out there. That's not at all what I'm implying. Perfection is not the point. It's going from things that were perceived to be better when I was younger or my grandparents were younger. Granted, it doesn't mean that there weren't hard times. There's always something off kilter, so, you know, maybe I'm just blabbing for nothing. But I just noticed a pattern of going down a spiral of degeneracy. And I'm just speaking generally. I'm not trying to knock anybody's lifestyle or anything. It has nothing to do with personal choices on that level. That's not really what I mean. It's more about this, again, over-dependence on fakery. Over-dependence on the veneer. Over-dependence on whatever achievement you can have over others. And that's what I mean. That hamster wheel mentality. And getting into relationships that don't really mean anything. Not for the right reasons. Just doing things not necessarily for the right reasons because of how they look. And I know this is something that's been around since before all of us were born. So I know I'm not speaking any particular revelations probably. However, at the same time, I really wanted to sort of talk about this topic again because I feel it's something that's not really talked about right now. It's all about the boom of this new industry of we're in the next industrial revolution of technology and information, and everybody's struggling to find their niche and their place. And sure, that comes with the territory. I'm doing the same. I feel as though I found things that make me happy. When I say things that make me happy, I don't mean that these outward things actually make me happy. I mean, I just enjoy doing them. I've come to learn happiness is an inside job. And I've heard all the memes, I've read and heard all the memes and the fortune cookie advice. So I know fully well that happiness comes from inside first. Meaning, and not happiness as in you're just over the moon every day. That's ridiculous. I mean something that brings about a kind of balance, a kind of inner peace. And not peace meaning everything is perfect, just this inner thing where you're not in constant anxiety, you're not in constant fear, you're not in constant bewilderment of your life. And having a tiny crisis here and there can make you really strong, or it can make you really, really anxious. And I've had both, as many of you probably have. I am okay with not having a career, and I guess most people would say, okay, great. So, I'm only speaking about this on the basis of what is being pushed right now. And we all know that trends come around and around and around. We know this. And right now, that's the trend based on this, again, new industrial revolution that we're going through right now. And that's completely fine. But sometimes I feel like I'm moving so fast that I kind of leave myself behind. Like, there is a version of me that literally just wants to collect seashells all day and watch the moon and dance among the trees and walk around barefoot. And that version of me often gets left behind somewhere. The more quote-unquote productive version of me, where I'm constantly focused on productivity. I don't want to be lazy. I don't want, and then that's another word as well. It's like, I'm not triggered by the word, but that's another term, you know, that we use to sort of whip ourselves into shape. We're probably losing momentum in our life. And obviously you're not going to be on top of your game all the time. Like, I don't think there's any fruit that's ripe all throughout the year. So I think the evergreen is green all year. But power to the evergreen. Power to the evergreen. But that's an outlier. You see, that's the other thing. We tend to pay attention to outliers and compare ourselves to outliers or things that are not common. And we strive to be that because that thing is special. And if they can do it, we can. And if we can't, then we're not special. And we want to be special because we want to be successful. And we want... It's a sick, twisted cycle. Don't do that to yourself. An evergreen is an outlier. It is not the rule, it is the exception. So that's another thing, perspective. Self-reflection and perspective. And it's hard to do that because, I mean, everything is a balancing act every day. Every day is a balancing act. I mean, you might forget to brush your teeth one day. Things are just hectic. Like, the energy is just hectic. Even if you're not working a 9-to-5, the energy is very tense. It's very, especially in highly populated areas like cities, busy cities, the energy of these places is so concentrated and thick, and not in a good way, I don't think. And it's not addressed. When I was working in corporate, there were people calling in the call center, obviously not calling any names, where people were calling in to talk about how they were having suicidal thoughts. Now, mental health obviously is not explored enough where I am. And there's probably some of you out there that can relate. And that disturbed me a lot. That really, it didn't just happen one time. The level of mental health issues that I think are occurring right now in our society that are going unchecked. We have so many maladjusted people. And when you thrust things upon children from a young age, I'm not saying you shouldn't educate your kids. I'm not saying they shouldn't be learning oriented or growth oriented, extracurricular activities. Teach them to navigate the stars, how to find and purify water, how to grow their own food, how to balance their checkbook, how to do those basic things. Incorporate that in the raising of your kids. A very good friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, she's raising her kid and doing her business with her husband. And more power to them, because that's not easy. But she has a partner who's on her level in terms of, they have the same goals, they have the same core values. Obviously, again, nothing in life is perfect. But these two people, I admire them. You know who you are. I admire them because they find equilibrium, right? It doesn't mean they're in equilibrium all the time, but they find equilibrium. Their goal is to get somewhere together, right? And because of that, because their intention is aligned, it doesn't mean there aren't challenges, but they have a better time. So intention is another thing. When people say get clear on your intentions, it's easy to say. It's very easy to say. And you're thinking, well, duh, I want the house. Duh. But as you're moving on your journey, as you're accomplishing things, as you're doing different things, it's very easy to lose track of your intention. And sometimes you think your intention is one thing and it's actually something else entirely. and you don't realize until you're in the thick of it. And then you start to panic, or you get confused, or you start to feel like your life is a waste, or, you know, that might not be true. You know, well, I don't think it's true. I don't think it's necessarily that your life is a waste. It's just, you know, maybe you were doing something that maybe you should have been doing in a different direction. But had you not been doing this, you would have realized that. So, not really a waste. My journey has been about learning to not align myself with what is not aligned with me. Not to tie myself down to situations, places, or people, platonic or otherwise, that aren't for me. And I don't mean, some people will say, well, duh, that's common sense. I mean it in a more strategic way, as in going through it and living it is different from saying it. So you can have all the fortune cookie advice you want, but many of us, again, as a collective, we're kind of twisted. And I think I was saying before, I do have certain goals that I want. And some of them I know are goals because I'm curious about that goal. Some of them are goals because I know it's something I've always wanted, you know, but it doesn't impact my happiness in the sense that I need it to be happy. That is the thing. Whatever goal that I have, I do not tell myself that I need that goal to make me happy. And some people say, well, duh, I don't either. But our behavior doesn't say that. Our behavior, our tactics don't reflect the mentality of somebody who isn't dependent on their goals to feel good, that dopamine rush that comes with knowing you've hit another goal. And again, nobody's telling you to be ashamed of your accomplishments. However, again, there's this crutch vibe I'm getting. Now, even when it comes to social values, I believe that some of our beliefs are maybe on the toxic side. And then there are other things that I think are good. I think having family values is good. I think community coming together is good. Some people think that every single social construct is just meant to be torn down and messed with. And I'm like, look, you're human, you're going to want to test the boundaries. Everybody does, even toddlers. We all know children love to test their boundaries with the parents. We know this. I was a kid once. I remember doing that. Sorry about your knives, mom. I had a knife throwing phase as a teenager. Actually, I want to get back into it, quite frankly. But I want to do it properly this time. No kitchen knives. And I guess that's also a positive thing when it comes to considering the benefits of the current pandemic. Some of the benefits are that some people realize that, look, I am in situations that don't suit my soul, that do not align with my spirit. And whether that's a relationship or a job or friendships, or realizing that maybe you putting up with a toxic family might not be the best for you, or, you know, just having a stiff upper lip thing isn't. The stiff upper lip business isn't always going to work. It does have its place. I'm not knocking the stiff upper lip. Not knocking it, because sometimes you need it. But again, you're not supposed to use it as a crutch. That's just my opinion. Everything has a place. But I find that we're putting things in places that they don't belong. We're using things for things that they're not meant for. You're angry all the time. You don't know why you're angry. Terrified of failure. You don't know why you're terrified of failure. Some people know very well why they are the way they are. Some people know. And some people know they deserve better. Some people don't believe they deserve any better. That's the thing. Belief is a heck of a thing. Some people just don't believe that they deserve any better. They think they are where they are and that's where they should stay. And I'm here to tell you, stop BSing yourself. Stop BSing yourself, because I used to do the same nonsense. But I'm here now, so... No, absolutely not. People are out here breadcrumbing each other and manipulating each other. And I always talk about this. This is always a theme. It's always a theme. Because everything is connected, I realize. Everything just sort of leads back to certain things. Hence the flow of life. If you know the pattern, flow of life, it's a bunch of circles overlapping, essentially. So to me, that's kind of just an illustration of how everything is connected. Math is connected to English, is connected to art, is connected to architecture, connected to nature, the Fibonacci sequence, how seashells just have this perfect spiral, sunflowers, how this, you know, how the sunflower is just made up perfectly. Like, it's amazing. When you start noticing those things, it's absolutely amazing. It just adds another layer of intrigue to your life. At least for me, it does. I find myself interested in that sort of thing. And I also find myself interested in weird stuff, things that I didn't know I was weird for. Sometimes I'd just be around people as a child and I would, you know, speak about my interests. My interests tended to be in the paranormal area. And people would think, oh, evil! And I would immediately feel like an outcast. I'd be embarrassed or ashamed, and you're weird. And now I embrace it. I absolutely embrace it. And some people think it's a trope. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. It's just what I was aligned with as a child. Like, I just found it interesting. I didn't see it as morbid. Some people saw it as morbid. I didn't. That's just my area. It's always been my area. And I do plan to explore that a bit more on this podcast. I wanted to sort of build up to it. So if you haven't listened to my paranormal episode with my friend Roger, please feel free to go back and listen to that. I am finding myself aligning with people who are on the same journey, in the sense of certain things are just starting to fall away naturally, just fall away. The relationships that weren't working, the ones that they knew were probably full of red flags, but they put up with it anyway because they thought that that's all they deserved and they shouldn't ever dare hope for anything more than that. Those things are starting to fall away. I mean, a relationship to yourself, to your family, to your parents, to your food, to your authentic experiences with certain situations, and also with romantic relationships, partners, friendships, whatever, relationships with your pets, it doesn't matter, or to how you choose to educate yourself if that's what you want to do. Relationships with things, is your self-worth attached to whether or not you get something or whether or not you achieve something? It's very easy to get caught up in the 3D. It's very easy. It's very matrixy. Emphasis on the tricks. See what I did there? But yes, emphasis on the tricks. It's very illusory. And it's very easy to get caught up in the illusory world of 3D. Honestly, half the time my dreams are more real than 3D. I don't know if that's a good sign. I don't know. But I find myself having a very epic time when I dream. Very epic. Interdimensional stuff's going on. A lot of heraldry. Swashbuckling sort of thing. Maybe I want to bring more of that into my actual life. I think that's why I cosplay. Shout out to the cosplayers. I'm not doing it as much as I used to. But I figure I'll get back into it when I'm ready. That's the thing. Try not to pressure yourself on anything. Oh, I used to skateboard. Well, put little steps in place to allow for that to happen. You know, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and nothing is wrong with... I try to find balance whenever I have these conversations. I think balance is important. Extremes don't work. And when I say they don't work, I mean they don't work mainly long term. You're not supposed to be in a constant state of stress. You're not supposed to be in a constant state of unrest. You're not supposed to be in a constant state of this 40-hour work week business. I don't believe that's what you are meant to do constantly. As a human, I think there was a study done. I don't remember who did the study, but I think they were saying that the average human just needs, I think, 8 hours a week to work to feel accomplished or settled. You don't need 40 straight hours of a work week. And I was relieved to hear that because I was feeling like a bum. I was like, there's a reason for it. Oh my God, thank you. Sometimes it hurts when the falsehoods fall away, but sometimes it feels really good. And I love to see it. I love to see when, you know, the veneer and the falsehoods just start to kind of melt away. And even the anger, you know, maybe anger around certain things or negative emotions around certain things start to fade because you're seeing things differently. When your perspective changes and your mind expands, it's amazing. I love that feeling. You know, I'm one of those people that really hates to feel stagnant. I mean, most people, I think, hate to feel stagnant, but I start to feel like a caged bird. I start to get depressed. I start to have really negative spiraling thoughts. And because of that, that's why there's a stimulation with research into, I guess, topics that I didn't grow up talking about. Things that I wondered about but were seen as taboo or strange or fringy is the word I would use. I'm very fringy and I'm quite fine with that. It took a while for me to be fine with that. It used to really haunt me in a way that really wasn't good. It sent me into a really dark place. I felt like I didn't belong anywhere. Now I realize I still don't feel like I belong anywhere, but that's okay. That's actually okay. People are like, what do you believe in though? What are you holding on to? It's like, I don't have any emotional attachment to any particular thing. That's why religion is something that I bring up a few times, because it has been a source of both structure and trauma. It has had both effects on me, mainly trauma. And I don't believe that you need that type of structure to be a good person. And that's why I emphasized earlier that I live in a country that places a lot of emphasis on religion. There's always a religious undertone, no matter what sphere you're in. And like I said, we're low in values. High in religion, but very low in values. I'm going to get to the reading, and I guess you decide for yourself how it hits you. So I'm going to do a reading from a book called Goodbye Again by Johnny Sun, and it encompasses his journey, I guess, with reflecting on his own life and experiences. So I'm going to get into the reading. The only way I feel able to take a break is if I stay up all night working, or if I stay up for multiple nights working until I finally exhaust myself physically and mentally to the point where I am forced to stop working because I am incapable of producing any more usable work, at least for a day. I fear that I have learned to look forward to burning myself out like this, to love this numbed exhaustion, because it is the closest thing I can get to some form of rest. And I am sad that this is the only way I allow myself to actually take the rest, because it is the only circumstance in which I can see rest as productive. In that resting at this point is the only way I can get myself back into working shape once again. Rest is now just a tool in order for you to get back to work. There is a toxic kind of glorification of this view we have on career that I don't think is healthy. I'm not saying everybody should be working in the turnip farm or, you know, or painting a shed. Like I said, just blindly doing things with people because it's ridiculous. Don't do that to yourself. Tiring. Sounds tiring. There are some constructs in our society that are toxic. And I don't mean toxic based on just my personal opinion, because I don't like it, because I have different opinions. It's a collective thing where some people just sort of have these knee-jerk reactions. They just sort of do things because that's what they were taught to do. And they end up neglecting their true selves in favor of things that don't align with them and end up doing things like self-medicating, developing addictions, becoming a slave to the libido. There is a stark difference between sexual freedom and being a slave to your libido. I personally believe that sexual freedom in its true form is the ability to not do it. The ability to feel contentment in not feeling a need to constantly engage in sexual activity. That's just me personally. You have the choice to do it or not do it, but not being a slave to your libido is true sexual power, in my opinion. Freedom. What is freedom? Is freedom just having extra time on your hands? Is it some people, it's just being able to do whatever you want without having to concern yourself with, you know, financial costs and things like that? I think it's a mixed bag. I don't really put a lot of stock in the physical world as much as I used to. I look at it more like, on one hand, it's knowing that no matter what circumstance you're in, that situation doesn't have to define you. And it's very hard to break out of that. I am still coping with that type of thinking as well. You are pure consciousness having a physical experience. The way that certain entities or certain organizations, religious and otherwise, have weaponized this against us as the citizenry, you start to lose the vision of who you really are at your core. And you start to think, oh, I am my skin, I am my hair, I am my job, I am my title. Some people, the greatest joy they ever feel or any self-esteem they get is from knowing they have a title before their name. Doctor this, lawyer that, great honorable whoever. Again, nothing is wrong with being proud of your accomplishments, but there's a crutchy vibe. Again, the theme is always there. There's a crutchy vibe about leaning on your title with a level of pride that is toxic, that doesn't always show, but sometimes it does. And I've seen where people who tend, not everybody, and this is just a general thing, some people that I've come across now and again, they may be overachievers, they know they're overachievers, and that's great, and you know, they might have a particular role in society that is of high rank, and in their job everybody loves them, but in private they're tyrannical, absolute control freaks, tyrannical, narcissistic, troubled individuals that need serious help. So while we're here talking about constructs, some constructs I think are helpful. Some constructs help to guide. Some constructs help to allow you at least to situate yourself. Not every construct is bad. I guess the freedom would come from also you being able to differentiate between which ones are, I would say, good for you at a mental health and spiritual level. Meaning, just because it looks good on paper, or it seems like it might be a good idea because it's different, might not necessarily be the case. And I'm not saying to explore and learn about yourself in safe ways. Not saying, you know, you shouldn't explore and test your boundaries, sure. But like I said, just because something is good on paper doesn't necessarily mean that that's what you should be doing, if that makes sense. The point I'm trying to make is just, if you're trying to find yourself and you're trying to realign with who you are, periodically in your life is, to me, a good thing. You're not always going to know yourself 100% of the time. That's just the truth. Something might make you crack that you weren't expecting and you're thinking, oh my God, how did I get here? Sometimes you just have to relearn yourself, relearn who you are. That's the point. Like, know when you are entangled in something that takes away from your spirit. Know when you're entangled in something that doesn't add to your well-being. And don't lie to yourself that it's adding to your well-being. I don't care what it is. Don't lie to yourself and tell yourself that this thing that goes against the grain, for instance, you know, that there's a thrill in going against the grain. There's a thrill in, I mean, that's coming from me, the one who loves horror movies. At the same time, I've learned on this journey being on the so-called fringe, I still have to navigate. So just because something is weird and different and new doesn't necessarily mean I need to go down that road. It really depends. If it's something that either I'm not ready for or something that might actually go against my core, I may just have to leave it alone. It's like, yeah, I'm the weird girl. I just love everything weird. Yeah, let's go do that and that and that because it's weird and different and it goes against society. So let's go do that. Like, no, discernment is really important. And discernment is very much lacking. Right? So there is the whole rigidity of following what you're taught and doing the corporate thing or doing the hamster wheel thing. And then there's the other side where you think maybe the solution is to go completely in the opposite direction, and then again, extremes don't work. So if you're going to the extreme of rigidity in terms of trying to align with a level of rigidity, whether it's inside your religion or inside a particular relationship, that's not healthy. That's not good. If you're used to dysfunction, then it's going to be harder for you to recognize it, but that's not good. Same as, you know, you realize maybe it's not working, so that means you think that means you have to go in the way, way opposite direction now and just find a commune and do some, I don't know, Jim Jones, I don't know. Jim Jones was more along the religious side, but he really was insane. But you get what I'm saying. Even then, Jim Jones, even without the madness, it was still kind of against the grain to go and live in a completely different country with a bunch of strangers. Right? But like I said, extremes don't work, especially long term, because they're not meant to. Just like fight or flight, you're not supposed to be in a constant state of fight or flight. Your nerves will get wrecked. Your psyche will get wrecked. So I'm hoping through this particular episode, at least it might bring about some more discussions around our beliefs about what success might really look like to us as individuals versus what you have to have versus what you want to have. And I think both have a place. I think both do have a place. I don't think outright rejection of one in favor of the other is necessarily helpful. I think it's holding both ideas up to scrutiny or up to the light and sort of looking at both of these things simultaneously and feeling them out and allowing yourself to pick out what really does align with you, what really does feel right to you. And not because anybody told you, not because a book told you, not because your religion told you, not because Batman Timmy down the road said, but because you've reached this conclusion on your own. And also keeping in mind that even though you might realize that certain things just don't align with you anymore, and I mean because you realize that maybe it's just not good for you, it's not that you're rejecting something that you want because you think you don't deserve it. That's the thing. A lot of us think in a way where it's like we think something is not for us, not because it's bad for us, but because we probably actually do want it very badly. Because we know that at our core, that is a true and honest desire that we really do have. Not because we think it's just going to make us happy. Not with that sort of, you know, infantile view, but more about, I really do feel like I love this person. I really do feel like I love this line of work. I really do feel as though I should not be anywhere else but here. And nothing is wrong with that. Rejecting that thought or those thoughts because we feel as though we don't deserve it deep down. That's the most painful part, is knowing that you really and truly do want something. You really and truly do believe something, because it's something that's beyond you. It's something that transcends your beliefs. It transcends what you've been taught. It transcends all of that, and you know that. But you reject it because you feel like you don't deserve it. You don't necessarily tell yourself in those exact words that you don't deserve it. Sometimes you do. But your behavior doesn't align with what you say. So you might say, no, I'm fully aligned with myself. I know I'm doing the right thing, but you're depressed all the time. You're self-medicating all the time. You're angry, you're anxious, you're scared. You're having constant arguments with people who you claim you're supposed to be around. You're having constant misalignment with people who you've decided to attach yourself to because you believe that that is what you deserve. Like, you believe that that's the energy level that you're at, and that's where you should stay because that's the decision you made at the time, and this is just how it is. And I do not recommend that line of thought. I do not recommend that line of thinking. If I stayed in that line of thinking, I probably would be in very abusive situations right now. I would be in very, 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 very deeply abusive situations right now if I had that mental, if I kept that mindset. I guess at the end of the day, it's up to us to kind of take the steps that we know we should be taking. I didn't have to take the steps I took. I could have done something completely different. I could have gone in a way more toxic direction. But something pulled me. I don't know what it was. Some people would say it's God. I don't know. I don't see God, I guess, the way most people do. I don't believe that God as an entity is a religion or anything like that. I don't believe that our religion defines this entity. And my realization of that has helped me to sort of go on my own journey. I'm not tethered. I'm not constrained or tethered or emotionally attached to what I guess I know consider to be, I say, like, false beliefs around an attachment to a particular organization. Like, I can only reach a certain place through a particular organization. I don't believe that. I guess that's the Gnostic in me coming out. And this whole discussion has nothing to do with religion itself or one particular thing itself. It's all encompassing, and like I've said, everything is connected. So yeah, I hope somebody found value. I really do. And these discussions are really important. Maybe I've just been rambling nonsense. I don't know. I don't think so. But I really do hope that more discussions like this are had. We deserve better. We do. I don't mean that prissy, self-absorbed speeches that people get sometimes, that you're a queen and a princess and anyone who doesn't see that is a peasant. No, that's a horrible, horrible way to think. That's how I see that. You deserve the best of everything simply because you have this or you are that. You are a queen, and anyone who doesn't see that is a bum. Not worth your fill in the blank. Fill in the blank. I don't believe in that sort of thinking. It's so horribly toxic. It feels toxic. It feels draining. It drains me. You know, certain mindsets that you think are supposed to be empowering are actually very draining. There's something very vampiric about it. Draining of energy. That's the other thing, that toxic side of empowerment and positivity, which is also going to be discussed in another episode. So stay tuned. that being said, thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed. Please like, follow, share, subscribe. Technically right now I'm on Anchor. I'm not sure when I'm going to transition to another platform. I may at some point. So whatever the thing is to do there, do that. Thank you so much for listening again. My merch store is in the description box if you're interested. And please come again. Over and out.